Brian Barnhart, glad to be with you today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Busy week ahead as we work our way through the week and up to Memorial Day weekend. And I wanted to spotlight some of the folks who have served our nation over the years. And we have some local heroes, of course, that are with us. And one of those is here today. He's from the Marines. Sam Weldon served in one World War II battle, happened to be one of the deadliest. Battle of Iwo Jima 70-plus years ago now. Cost over 6,800 American lives and three times as many Japanese lives. 31 days was that battle. And Sam Weldon is here with us today. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Can you believe it's over 70 years ago?
I can close my eyes. It seems like yesterday.
Does it?
Yeah.
I bet some of the sounds and things you experienced probably...
Yes.
What are some of those things? When you think about Iwo Jima all those years ago.
Well, I remember we left Maui. That was our training camp. And we took a troop ship over to Oahu, and we picked up a fleet of LSTs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the LSTs 51 days getting to Iwo Jima. And it was packed like sardines. And when we went through the Central Pacific, it was the hottest I think I've ever been in my life. Just worse than the regular Pacific. Yes.
Oh.
So when we get close to Iwo, I can see, we're miles away from it. I can see the flashes of the battleships. And believe me, how can people live on an island like that? Well, we didn't know that they had a bunch of caves and all that, but we found out real quick.
Well, we'll get into some of that with all the tunnels and all the defense. Ray Elliott is here, of course. And Ray, tell us what you do. I know you've got connections here with a lot of work you do with veterans. And
well, I'm the secretary of the 5th Marine Division Association,
mm-hmm.
and I edit the Spearhead News for the 5th Marine Division and go to all the reunions. In fact, we're having the reunion here in October the 16th to 21st this fall. But I basically work as the editor of the publication and secretary of the association.
Well, let me ask Sam, because let's go back to a little further back. You were from Champaign High School, right?
That's right, yes.
You were involved in sports there, right?
Yeah, I was involved in sports. And then when I got out of high school, I went to the university, and of course the war was on, and my mind was on the war, not on my university.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were not just involved in athletics at Champaign Central. You were a Hall of Famer there, a two-year letterman, led the Maroons in scoring as a senior, won three letters in track. So you were more than involved. You were pretty good at it.
Well, I was very fortunate. I wasn't good in basketball, so I became a wrestler. And when I was a senior, I won the state high school title at 135 pounds. And 2 years later, I had a brother who won the title at 155 pounds. So we're a wrestling family.
And you wanted to, did you want to get in? You know, your dad didn't want you to get in the military, right?
No, he kept me out as long as he could. I wanted to enlist, but he probably saved my life because the ones who enlisted then went to Tarawa. Mm-hmm. And that was a very bad battle also.
Now, as far as Iwo Jima, you talked about getting over there. It's extremely hot. The Japanese had dug themselves in very effectively, and the tunnels, I know there was some bombardment going in. The Air Force tried to knock out what they thought, and at the time they thought it might be easy, right?
You're correct. But they had, unbeknownst to us and to the Marine Corps, that they had brought in some Korean laborers, and they made a bunch of connecting caves and tunnels, intercollecting. They even had electricity on the caves and the tunnels. But we didn't know that at the time, but we found out real fast.
I was going to say, and I also read where these tunnels were so interconnected that even if you blew some up, the Japanese could come right back in.
That's correct, yes. They were interconnected, and we found this after the battle was over.
The island, I guess, it's a volcanic island, right? So when you landed, there's a lot of volcanic ash. Was that a big problem?
Yeah, it was. They used to call black sands at Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
it wasn't sand. It was volcanic ash. Mm-hmm. And if you got it in your boots or your field shoes, you know, it'd get between your toes. And a lot of guys, I wore leggings. I was real lucky. Because once you go into battle, you can take off any clothes you want. If you don't like your dungaree jacket, nobody's going to say anything to you.
Right. 356-9397 is our number. Sam Weldon is our guest here for a few minutes. Again, we just wanted to spotlight some of our veterans who have served as we lead up to World War Memorial Day. And, of course, Sam was in World War II. I know going in, they thought initially with the bombing ahead of time that it was going to be easy. I mean, if someone was quoted, it's going to be easy. Obviously, it was not. When you landed, were you aware yourself of what had happened before, or were you just jumping in?
No,
they
told us right before we went, now this is going to take 3 to 5 days, and you can come back in and get some good food and have a couple of days rest and get clean uniforms, and we'll go to Okinawa. That was a big laugh because they depleted, you know, all the extra men that were in reserve on the battle itself.
So give us, for those of us who have never experienced anything like that, and we've got, you know, my generation in particular, young enough that, you know, I was too young to go to Vietnam. I was a little kid when Vietnam was happening. So I haven't experienced anything like this and too old for Iraq. But the sounds, the smells, is there a certain smell to war?
Yes. Hey, for years, when I would smell a dead animal. It was like Iwo Jima. You see, it was so bad. The Marines, we take care of our dead. But sometimes it took 4 or 5 days for us to pick up our wounded or our dead. And we'd go back to get ammunition off the beach, and lo and behold, you look down there and you see a friend laying there. One time I took a replacement with me, and I said, just a minute, buddy. I said, I had three friends, and they looked like they were all falling together. And I looked at them, and they had been there for about 3 or 4 days. They didn't look very good. But I said, hey, guys, we'll get you picked up just as soon as we can. But the battle's in now, doubt, and we haven't got time now. So I can still remember that.
Yeah. Sam Weldon is with us here this morning. We're talking about his experiences at Iwo Jima. We're at 9:21. When you first landed or early on, you were, what, blown in the air? You suffered some hearing loss, right?
Yes. The first time, my best friend and I just got out of this amphibious tank, exited on the rear, and just we didn't take 4 or 5 steps, and all of a sudden there was a big boom. And I found myself going flying in the air and landed on my behind, and I looked over, and I knew that my friend was gone. So he was carrying we were in the 60-millimeter mortars in the rifle company. So real fast I rolled him over, and I grabbed the mortar, and one of my ammunition carriers were there, and I said, his name was Earl. He was 37 years old and had but 3 children. So I said, Earl, let's go. And so we ran about 20 or 30 yards, and all of a sudden there was a giant shell hole. I pointed, jump down in there, and we jumped down in that hole, and we were pinned in that hole maybe till noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And as we lay out, I looked up, I could see our tanks came in, and the Japanese knocked out every tank. The tanks got so that they couldn't maneuver. There was the great big holes, and once they stopped, the Japanese. And one kid come to me and he says, I want you to help me. I want you to help me. My lieutenant is wounded in the tank. I says, son, I says, go back to the beach and get a corpsman. We're not supposed to help. That was the thing. You're not to pick up anybody. Of course, somebody's got a minor wound. You're going to help them, but sure, Nothing like that.
Well, and as you went on, this went on for 30 days.
Yeah, 31 days.
I assume you didn't get much sleep.
No. Hey, I think the first, we got up at 2:30 in the morning and had breakfast. And I think we went in at 9:30, and I think at 12 o'clock midnight we had roll call. Now, we had approximately 240 guys, and 99 guys answered the roll call at midnight. And, well, we're just going to dig in. And unfortunately, I try to dig in, and I had my little shovel, and I dig. I hit something that was metal. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't dig, and I couldn't go anyplace. So I just slept on the metal and on the sand. And when I woke up the next morning, hey, I was completely wet from the volcanic ash, the moisture in it.
Sam Weldon is with us here for a few minutes. We're just highlighting those who have served as we lead up to Memorial Day. He served at Iwo Jima. Only 34, it says, an article I read, walked out of your company.
Which was 34 out of 248, yes. Yeah. And so we proceeded. We got replacements, and I saw men without legs, without arms, and I was fortunate. My father had a business, and we slaughtered turkeys and geese and chickens, and so when I saw entrails or something like that, I was lucky. It didn't bother me because I had handled them in the animal form.
Yeah. Well, they have the famous photo. Of course, they've recreated it in D.C. with the flag raising. Were you aware of any of that, or was that something you found out about later?
Well, I wasn't involved in it. I was about 100 yards away, and all of a sudden, we're in a firefight, and I get a radio. Somebody says, "Hey, Weldon, you got a radio call." I said, "Well, I am." He says, "You'll have to crawl over here." So I crawled about 30 yards, and I went and got the radio. I said, "Hello," and the boy said, "Hey, Sammy, how you doing?" I said, "Who is this?" It was my friend, Paul Holbeck from Champaign, Illinois, who was a radio operator with the artillery. He says, "I just called to see if you're getting along." He says, "Our spotter up there probably said everybody was killed. I said, "Hey, don't do me any favors, but I want you to do me a favor, Paul. You'll have time to write your mother, and I won't. Write and tell your mother to call my mom and tell her that you talked to me." So his mother did that. They lived on. They had a house over on the campus by the old Steak and Shake, and they had rooms they rented out to male students. They're very nice people. His brother is a prominent builder in Champaign.
And from what I understand, because of what happened at Iwo Jima with the casualties and everything, it was somewhat of a deterrent, or at least made the military think about, okay, if we invade the Japanese home islands, this could be a problem, right?
Is that yes? Well, we after Okinawa, then they decided we were trained to raid to assault the main islands. I don't know which island we were going to. And matter of fact, on the day that the war ended, we were 15 miles out in the field. And, somebody hollered, "War's over." And I looked one way, and I saw some trucks come one side, and I saw some trucks coming in. I said, "Boy, listen, we'll just wait." And the lieutenant says, "Well, we're not going to wait. We'll march back in." So we just went about 20 miles that day. Boy, was I glad it was over.
And you wound up in Guam as a military policeman.
That's right. That was the best job I ever had.
And then you wound up coming back, and I heard you had a pizza place too, right?
Originally, I come back, I went to school, but once again, hey, my mind wasn't on anything. I was out to have a good time. The world owes me a living, and it didn't.
Well, and I know you and Ray went on a trip. You went back to Iwo Jima, three or four years ago? What was that like to go back?
Well, it was sort of shocking. First place, the United States gave the island back to the Japanese. And that made there was a bunch of Marines on our trip, and that made them mad. And then they exhumed all the graves had been removed from the island and transferred someplace where I didn't even know. And that made everybody sort of angry. But they gave it to the Japanese. They got a great big air hangar there, and they got an airstrip. And the Japanese are not really a friendly people. I don't know, because of the war or what, but they're completely different than the Chinese.
Hmm. So now you're just retired and
retired. I'm 92 now. I've been retired at 62. Mm-hmm. And I got bored when I was retired, and I saw a friend of mine. I says, "Hey, can I get a part-time job? Something nice and easy." "Yeah." So Jim Miller was the mowing foreman in the Champaign Park District. So I worked a couple of years as a mower, and Jim's retired now, and he lives in Champaign. Mm. But Park District is an excellent source of things for people. Excellent bunch of people.
Well, Sam, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your service, most of all. And Ray, thank you for bringing him in and making him available. And good luck with your reunion. When is that again?
That's October the 16th to 21st. We're going to be at the Hyatt Place up here, and we're going to have the Arnold Shapiro, the documentary Return to Iwo Jima. He's an Oscar-winning document maker, and he's going to be here to introduce the film. And it's free and open to the public. No charge to see that film. It's about 58 minutes there, and then we're going to have a bunch of Iwo Jima veterans on there on the panel.
All right. We'll remind everybody of that when we get closer to it. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Okay,
we appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news headlines. Michael Kaiser next on Penny for Your Thoughts. Your open line calls after that.